Rob, this is Kathy. I have a question.
Sure.
I already have a question. See, it's just the beginning of the meeting. When people respond to the roll call, would it be possible for them? I've looked up everyone's background, but would it be possible for them to say what their affiliation is?
Sure. I think that's a great idea. In fact, after we do the roll call, Kathy, building on your idea, I'd like to suggest that we go around the table and have each person actually spend a couple of minutes to really introduce themselves and maybe share why they decided to volunteer for this group and what they're hoping to achieve, to know each other a little bit better. So let's start with your piece on the roll call, and then we'll go back with some introductions, if that's okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So the first person I'm going to call is Sarmad Hussain. Could you please introduce yourself?
Okay. Hello, everybody. This is Sarmad Hussain. I'm from Pakistan. I am actually been nominated to SCAC, and I actually recently joined SCAC. And my work has so far been focused on internationalized domain names. We've been working on domain names for Pakistani languages and also domain names of Asian languages. So we've actually been working on a project where we have been looking at domain IDNs for multiple scripts. And as far as Whois is concerned, our focus has been because of IDNs coming in, we would want Whois information to be internationalized as well. And that's the kind of interest I'm bringing in into this group.
Great. Thank you, Samar.
Thank you. Bill Smith? Bill, are you still online? Okay, he's probably disconnected now. Emily Taylor?
Hello, I'm Emily Taylor. I'm from the UK. For the Whois review
Welcome
team, thank you. Thank you. My affiliation for this group is with the CCNSO, who asked me to whether I'd be willing to do it, and my application was also endorsed by the UK government. I've been in the industry, the domain name industry, for the last 10 years or more than 10 years. Currently, I'm an independent consultant in the domain space and also a member of the IGF Multi-Stakeholder Advisory Group, or MAG. I'm a lawyer by background, specializing in intellectual property, trademarks, and copyright, and so on, and spent 10 years as the Director of Legal and Policy at Nominet, the UK registry, CCTLD. As part of that, and the reason to pick up on Rod's idea, the reason why I wanted to participate in this is that my experience at Nominet involved devising their Whois policy in collaboration with the data protection regulator in the UK, intellectual property owners, law enforcement people, and privacy advocates. So I do have an idea of the challenges in balancing various legitimate and competing interests. I've also been involved in litigation, which has sparked out of abuses of the Whois and the underlying databases. So I'm very interested in this and to understand how things are going in the G space and whether there's any relevant learning that can be done through benchmarking with the CCs.
Thank you, Emily. Kathy Kleiman?
Good morning, good evening, all. This is Kathy Kleiman. I'm based in the United States, and I'm the Director of Policy for .org, the Public Interest Registry. I've been working for the last few months. I've been working with Liz Gaster of the ICANN staff on various Whois studies that the GNSO Council is evaluating and considering funding, studies that might actually give us some underlying data and facts when we think about a global who is policy. And so I'm very excited about some of the work that's being done in the GNSO. But I know that excellent work is being done in the other supporting organizations. And so I'm looking forward to a group that works across communities in ICANN, across supporting organizations, across the Internet on this very, very complicated issue that has kind of stymied ICANN for so many years. So I'm excited about this review team. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you. Kim Von Ox?
Hello, everybody. I'm from Canada, and I'm actually representing the non-commercial user group. And I'm a lawyer by background, actually similar to Emily. I'm an IP and technology lawyer. And again, as Emily, prior to my private practice now engagement, I was working for actually the Canadian Internet Registration Authority as the General Counsel, Corporate Secretary, and Director of Policy Development for over 6 years. And my overall objective, actually, in this particular working group and desire to actually participate is to share my personal experience that I had when Sura actually went through a Who Is review and then in the introduction of a new Who Is policy, and to just understand everybody's view in this particular environment and then try to really help find a collaborative approach to and view on how to change if change the WHOIS policy if at all.
Thank you, Kim. Lynn Gudendorf.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia, in the U.S., and my background is in technology and data protection. I have an independent consulting practice. I am most interested in the domain name process and who is as it relates to data protection. I've just recently participated in the high security top-level domain advisory group, and we have just published an RFI to interested parties so that we can gather more information and bring that work to closure. I think with WHOIS, from my past experience, I have been involved with ICANN since about 2007, and one of the first working groups I participated in was WHOIS Working Group. And I believe that we are going to need to balance the interests of a number of stakeholders and formulate a policy that is going to support the security and stability of the Internet. So I'm very pleased to be part of this group.
Thank you, Lynn. Olivier Itéanu?
Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm Olivier Itéanu from Paris, France. I'm an attorney, member of the Bar of Paris. I also serve as a professor at the University of Paris 1, Sorbonne. I also serve as a panelist for the domain name conflict at the WIPO, World Intellectual Property World Organization. And I was part of the ICANN process in 2001 for the at-large study committee. It was before the at-large, the ALAC, the advisory committee, and I was also interested in the DNS, and that's the reason why I applied for this team.
Thank you, Olivier. Yes. Sharon Lemon?
Hello, my name's Sharon Lemon. I work for the Serious Organised Crime Agency in the United Kingdom, and I'm already feeling very inadequate listening to your profiles and backgrounds. I've been involved in the investigation of crime on the internet for about 6 years and realised very quickly that this new environment for criminals gave them the speed and reach that they've never had before and gave them opportunities to commit all sorts of new crimes. Although we will always have place for criminal justice outcomes, those alone will never defeat serious organised crime on the internet. So we needed a voice within ICANN. We wanted to contribute to the debate, and we've already started that work under a Project Minstrel, which some of you may have heard of. Bobby Schlain from the FBI is very leads the way on that. And it was suggested when the opportunity came for a law enforcement officer to come onto this review group that I apply because I have a very significant international network, and I intend, through my lucky position on this group, to represent their views and interests. And I'm very pleased to be on the group, and I hope you'll all help me with your background and understanding to contribute the best I can.
Thank you, Sharon. Omar Kaminski?
Hello, everybody. I'm a lawyer from Brazil, specializing in cyber law, especially in intellectual property, privacy, and domain names. I worked in the very first leading case of domain names in Brazil, and I was indicated by the Exterior Relations Ministry in Brazil to represent the Government Advisory Committee, and to and also to represent the final user's view, point of view. So it's a great group. I wish I could learn. I can learn a lot from you, and to participate.
Thank you, Omar. Susan Cavagucci.
Hi, I'm Susan, and I have managed domain names for basically three large companies. Currently, I'm with Facebook, and I previously with eBay, and you know, eBay owns PayPal, so I manage their portfolio too. And my primary interest in Whois is in the ability to protect our users. Anytime you're involved with a famous brand, other people like to use that brand and do things with it that tarnishes it, but also impacts our users. So the Whois record is very important in my day-to-day work and the accuracy and availability of the Whois is extremely important.
Thank you, Susan. Wilfried Weber?
Yeah, hello. My name is Wilfried Weber. I am based in Vienna in Austria, this small country in the center of Europe. I am an employee of Vienna University and within the university of the Central IT Department. I am maybe sort of a veteran. I started in 1974 at the University of Technology in Vienna with very simple, very basic networking projects back then. And I saw the development of the IP TCP/IP-based network across our little country and abroad. I became active in the internet community pretty early. I am a long-standing co-chair of RIPE, which is the European community of RIPE's database working group. I am also teaching at the University of Applied Sciences various aspects of network technology from layer 1 and layer 2 up to layer 7, 8, and 9, which is security and politics. and I am involved, or I'm a member of the Address Council of ICANN since the formation of that group. My personal interest here is actually that to get involved in this review team is actually twofold. The one basic reason and source of interest is actually that we run a WHOIS service, not for domain names at the RIPE-NCC in Amsterdam, but for the IP resources, for IPv4, IPv6 addresses, and for AS numbers. So what I would like to do is, if this is of any use, to contribute our experience with running a resource registry and at the same time learn maybe a little bit of from the other end of the game. It's the domain name WHOIS. The second incentive or second motivation is that I am well aware is about the conflict of interest between protecting the interests of end users, protecting the interests of internet service providers or application providers, and protecting the interests or sort of supporting the requirements of law enforcement. And I hope to be able to contribute to this activity, and I think that's about it. If you want to have any more details during the application process for this review team, we were required or invited to submit a short write-up what the motivation and what the background is. And I'm pretty sure that this information is available on the ICANN's web pages, and maybe Alice can circulate the URL where to find that. Thank you.
Thank you. We also have Bill Smith online. Bill, are you able to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am. I apologize for last time. I hit the big red button as opposed to the unmute button. So I'm Bill Smith. I am currently at PayPal. Prior to that, I spent 14 years at Sun Microsystems, working in primarily in the office of the CTO, and represented Sun at a number of international standards organizations, including the IETF, W3C, OASIS, and I participated in those organizations in a variety of capacities, both as individual member, chair, and board member. My interests in the review team are primarily related to specifically what is in the affirmation of commitment and determining how well ICANN has delivered on the commitments that were made in the affirmation. I'm also, as many of you are well aware of, the potentially some of the conflicts between the various groups regarding privacy, et cetera. So I'm cognizant of that from my my days at in identity management at the Liberty Alliance and Proterra. But again, my primary reason is to determine how well ICANN actually is delivering on the commitment that was made. I believe that actually is the real mission of the review team. I look forward to working with everyone, and that's it.
Thank you, Bill. We also have Luke Donohaka on the call. Lutz, I think you're on mute.
Still on mute?
No longer.
My name is Lutz Donohaka. I'm from Germany. I'm one of the persons building up the internet in Germany from the very beginning, TCP/IP internet, of course, and I'm heavily involved in the small internet service provider, so I know who is as a source of technical information to get in contact if something is broken. And after then, we are starting with a public who is query interface in Germany, and is still one of the leading ones in use and free of cost in use. We have mostly law enforcement people using this interface. It's pretty interesting because it's not a law enforcement from the big issues. They are mostly do their work on very small and very low incidents. So they do not have the power to use other methods than a simple lookup. And for providing such an interface, I have learned that they have completely other interests. They are not interested in technical issues, who is the responsible person to fix the problem, but they are interested in finding out who is the person to you, or is the person to contact to get more information on the special issue. And after that, I was more involved in the non-governmental organization, which put me to the at large, and at large put me into this group here. And so I had the third view for who is, which is simply to protect the data. And ask the question if you still need an Whois service at all. And I'm very interested to see a way to find out which of the three interest groups might be the future use, or if we do not have any use for Whois, if we can shut it down. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob Backstrom.
Sure, thank you. Just coming off mute here. Well, first, I just want to say it's wonderful to have this group convening and coming together. Such a terrific, not only global background, but experiences in so many different areas. I mean, law enforcement, private sector, government backgrounds, academic backgrounds, people looking out to the public interest. It's really heartwarming, and I can share that I think Heather and I felt very fortunate to have the quality of applicants offering to come forward for this important job. My own background is in three areas, in working with and leading private companies, and actually public companies as well, in working in the nonprofit sector for over 10 years, and in working for government. My real policy background was working on environmental policy for the last 18 years directly. I've sat on the board of a large global policy group that's a bipartisan group in the U.S. The policy you might know of globally that we've worked on is the Kyoto Protocol, which was developed in our shop, but mostly involved in global warming policies and oceans policy. And I'm thrilled to be here at ICANN for almost 18 months now. And the other part of my background in the private sector, I ran a company called Privada. And Privada built private internet settlement systems for private surfing, like Anonymizer, anonymous surfing, anonymous credit card settlements, and anonymous shipping to protect consumers' rights to privacy. But we did that working together with law enforcement, and we had law enforcement fully buy off on the architecture of what we did so that people had guaranteed privacy as long as what they did was legal. And if they did something illegal, then with the presentation of a warrant, we were then able to determine who the party was and to deliver that information to law enforcement. So I'm a believer that the needs of consumers and law the needs of the privacy community and law enforcement can both be balanced in this Whois field. And so I'm excited to see participants from both backgrounds engaged. I also had activity in cybersecurity, and I think that obviously, Whois is extremely important for global cybersecurity, as Sharon mentioned. My hope here is, as the CEO of the organization, is to get a candid and objective assessment of how we've done, as Bill has mentioned. There's some specific language in paragraph 9.3.1 in the AOC about the Whois review that I may ask Kathy Kleiman to present in a few minutes, or Bill. And to get an objective assessment, but I'm also really happy to hear that the group has a lot of thoughts and ideas about where we might go in the future with proposals for improving both the policies and the implementations, and maybe also looking at the level of resources that are committed to this effort and that are supported, and also interested in ideas of self-policing, because obviously when there's 200 million domain names out there and billions of addresses and only a handful of people engaged in compliance efforts at ICANN, self-policing and other mechanisms and community policing can be valuable. So I do hope that we can both get an objective assessment and maybe point some directions in terms of where we can go moving forward. I also want to mention that with respect to my own involvement with this group, I'm thrilled to have a chance to begin this review team with you. But my intentions are to phase out in the not-too-distant future, much as Heather has done. So I'm seeking to will be seeking to appoint a designate who will take my seat. But I in part wanted to take part here for my own learning experience to see what a review team is like on the inside and how they get organized and how they pull together. So those are my hopes. And Alice, I can either hand it back to you, or we can maybe step to the next step you had in the proposed agenda.
Rod, this is Olof. Maybe we should just introduce very briefly the staff members that are on the list, and all are on the call as well. And you've all received an introductory email, so I think we could keep that very short, but nevertheless, you hear their voices and get acquainted a little. So we've got Denise Michel, Liz Gaster, Pam Little, Alice Jansen, and myself, Olof Nordling, on the call. So, Denise, could you just say hello or something?
Sure. Hello, everyone. I'm, as I indicated, an advisor to Rod as CEO. I have about a decade's worth of experience in ICANN in various capacities, including previously vice president of policy. And I'll be your sort of substantive lead and interaction with ICANN staff. Any information, interviews, requests for documents, or any advice or assistance beyond the administrative and operational support that Alice and Olof provide you, please call me or send me an email, and I'm based in ICANN Silicon Valley office. Thank you.
Okay. Liz, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good day, everyone. My name is Liz Gaster. I'm a senior policy counselor in the policy group, primarily supporting the GNSO and taking the lead primarily on who is policy activities, and I look forward to helping the group any way I can. Thank you. I also am in the U.S. Pacific time zone.
Thanks, Liz. Now, Pam.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pam Little from ICANN's Contractual Compliance Department. I'm the Senior Director for the Asia-Pacific region, but at the moment I'm also heading up the Contractual Compliance Department on an interim basis. I have a legal background as well as a small business background. I have been with ICANN for about 15 months, and I'm very happy to be able to participate in this review team and be happy to assist wherever I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam, and our pillar of the society. Alice, please.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Assistant for Organizational and Affirmation Reviews. I'm based in Belgium, Brussels, and I will provide you with administrative and operational support. And I'm really looking forward to working with you all. Thank you very much.
And, well, my name is Olof Nordling, and I'm Director of Services Relations and also responsible for overall for the organizational reviews. Make the trains run on time in that sense. So we're looking forward to making your trains run on time as best we can. Together with Alice, I'm based in Brussels as well. And, well, I think that would do for an introduction of staff. So back to you, Rod.
Okay. Well, first I want to offer back to the group, because I said, you know, we could introduce ourselves and then talk about what we want to accomplish. I think maybe some of us talked about both, such as myself, and others some discussed both, but some may not have had a chance to really talk about, you know, what you hope to see happen here. And another thing we could do is simply, you know, informally go around the table and maybe talk about, you know, what success would look like for each of you. I mean, what if we, you know, I guess we have roughly, Olaf, maybe you can tell me, what is the target end date for the final published report after the public comment, et cetera, et cetera?
With pleasure, Rod. I mean, the start date is very clearly defined and written in stone in the affirmation of commitments that we get organized by the end of September, and so we did to some extent. And then in the rough planning we had, it was foreseen that this should be concluded within a year from this organizational date, so by the end of the third quarter next year. That is not written in stone, but given that this is supposed to be a recurrent event, reviews of this nature should take place every third year. Well, it seems reasonable that there should be some implementation time and the ability to see the effects before the next review of the same kind would take place. So I think that's sort of the overall timeline. That's what it looks like.
Okay. All right, that's very helpful, Olaf. And so maybe that's one of the things that we can begin to discuss today as a group and either decide today or on the next call. But let's you know, for example, whether we want to say we want to be done within 12 months of when the group was selected by September 30th of next year, as sort of as Olaf has posed. Another possibility is to try to have it our project completed by next June, or which is an ICANN public meeting, and I'm totally flexible. I think it's up to the group to decide. But either way, let's assume that we get this report done. We've gone through, you know, the public comment. It's published. It's finished. It's, you know, it's posted to the world. You know, I'd like to just go around the table and talk about, you know, and let's say we're going to celebrate, we're going to have a celebratory dinner, we've done a lot of hard work, it's going to finally be done and be behind us. You know, what does success look like and feel like? You know, what is this report like in terms of what it does for the you know, the world, the global internet users? I just want to open that up to anyone's comments. You know, what does success look like to you?
This is Lynn Goodendorf. I feel like one of the primary issues right now with Who is the issue of accuracy, and that in our policy, I hope we can address some ways to significantly improve accuracy.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Lynn.
This is Emily Taylor. I think for me, success would look like, I mean, on a practical level, getting the job done on time. But mm-hmm. on a more ambitious is to help the community break what I perceive to be rather a deadlock in this area, and make a helpful policy contribution, which is recognized as fair and balanced and participative. I think it sort of picks up one of the points that you made, Rod, that I also believe that it is possible in this area to balance the competing legitimate interests of stakeholders. I do not believe that they are incompatible with each other, although it may be impossible for any one stakeholder group to get exactly what they want. They might be able to live with the results. So my ambition would be to help the community to achieve a sense of balance in Who is, to feel a bit more comfortable with what it is. And I would expect that part of that is to identify who are our important stakeholders and what are their legitimate interests.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, Emily. Anyone else?
This is Kathy Redd. I'd like to give this excellent question a shot. What would success look like? That's a great question. But first, I'm going to take up your offer just to share a little bit more of my background. I forgot to mention, as I listened to everyone's wonderful credentials, I am also an attorney. I specialize in both trademark law and privacy law, and I've worked exclusively in the domain name arena since 1995. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm one of the original members of ICANN, and hence my gray hair, and I'm a co-founder of the non-commercial users constituency, and I've been involved on trying to thrash out some of these who is issues in ICANN on and off since 2001-2002, so for a long time. And as I look at the review team, I think for me success isn't a single objective but a process that we can help ICANN through. So success would look like to me a clear understanding of what our mission is. I think that we have some text from the affirmation of commitments, but what it means is fairly broad, and I think we can help the community and encourage the community to work with us to kind of interpret what it is we should be doing. I'll just read from the text. ICANN additionally commits to enforcing its existing policy relating to who is subject to applicable laws. That's a very dense statement. The existing policy, applicable laws, the tension there, as many people have reflected. This is a complicated process that we get to be the review team of. So helping define a clear mission for what we're looking for. I would love to see us engage in a comprehensive overview of what's been done. Over the years, many pockets of ICANN have looked at the who is issue. Let's put it all in one place. I don't know whether we need it or can use all of it, but what's been done in the past? What's the assembled knowledge? What's going on now? It looks like there are issues of who is being evaluated at the ICANN board. There's an ICANN staff report out for public notice. There are four studies that are up for funding at the GNSO Council. I'm not sure the community knows, the public knows, what's happening across the board. And one of the things we can do is help open that up and show people what's being done now and how they can participate. And a real sense of where the knots are. And then the last thing, I've heard several people say we might be making policy. I was hoping we might be reviewing policy and kind of helping find the knots and enable the community, the ICANN community, to have a path forward so that they can make the policy. Thanks, Red.
Sorry, Kathy, it's Emily here. Can I just come in on that point to say I completely
Absolutely.
Agree that I see this team as reviewing rather than making policy, and you know, wholeheartedly agree with your comments.
Thank you.
Great, and I'd like to propose on that, Kathy. Thank you so much for your articulate comments, and I also want to say I think you're a great role model for many of us in the community. You've been here since the beginning, you know, over 12 years, and are still so positive and so constructive on so many issues. So I really respect you and look up to you for that.
Thank you so much, Fred.
Yeah, well, thank you. You very much deserve that. With respect to discussing the mission of the group, so what I'm just going to mention here, I think we should come back to this in a moment. Let's keep brainstorming on what success looks like. But I'll mention what success looks like to me just to contribute to this part of the conversation and some of our process. Success to me looks like, besides an objective assessment and besides, you know, constructive suggestions for the future, success to me looks like this group itself modeling the accountability, you know, and transparency and the principles of the affirmation of commitments that we seek to assess ICANN on, that we actually model that behavior. And in doing so, I'd like to, you know, my hope would be that I would see this group as being excellent in collaboration in how we work with one another, how we listen to each other's opinions, respect each other's opinions, including differences, even if it means documenting those differences. It's not as though the group has to reach consensus on everything. There can always be different viewpoints or minority viewpoints or different ways the group can handle it. And I just want to mention, I think that in healthy collaborative processes, it can be useful at times to call out what is brainstorming time. So a brainstorming time or a sharing time is when anyone should be able to come forward with their thoughts and their ideas and not be judged and not have an argument or have a debate about what's right or wrong. But so there's kind of sharing and brainstorming times when critical judgment should not be introduced because it stops the flow of people sharing their own views. Then there's convergence time, you know, or editing time when you want to pull things together, and that's when the discussion needs to happen of, you know, pulling thoughts together, such as on this mission, and then decision times occasionally, such as, you know, there can be brainstorming about when this process ends. There can be a convergence discussion to try to get to a consensus solution. And then there can also be, if that doesn't work, you can get, you know, we can go to a decision time, you know, and do a specific vote. But I think calling out those different kinds of process that we're in, to me, a successful process is one where the process is healthy and fairly clear to the participants. And so I hope that now as we're talking about what success looks like and even what the mission looks like, I propose we stay in brainstorming mode for a while and then towards the end of this call maybe move towards convergence, see if we can get towards convergence on some of the issues. But that's what success looks like to me. And with that, let me hand it back to others who'd like to share in the brainstorming on what success looks like to them.
Can I come in, Sharon Lemon? We've already got a success in that there's a law enforcement representative on this group, and I support everything that's been put forward. I would also, I very much look forward to the collaboration, and for me this is a learning time as well. I've got a lot to learn from the people who have been in this space for a long time, and hopefully the colleagues, my new colleagues, have got things to learn from my vast experience in law enforcement and my views. And another success will be for the first time brigading the thoughts of international law enforcement and bringing it to ICANN and offering it as a view. And I agree with Emily that I think that all of our needs can be met if we approach this in the correct manner. And from what I've heard so far, I'm very encouraged by that. So that's what success will look like for me.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, Wilfred here, if I may.
Please.
Yeah, well, referring to the question of the timelines and the success story, first of all, I am perfectly prepared to restrict my personal interest here if there is a common understanding that we should do a rather formal exercise in supporting ICANN and doing that within a reasonably short time frame. However, my preference would actually be to allow us for a little bit more slack on the timeline and really try to pull together and to invite and to structure the various points of views and the various interests that are floating around and either, and sort of on top of that, also to provide some background for a little bit of education or for a little bit of explaining the problems to decision makers and maybe even politicians. And from that point of view, I'm very, very glad and very, very happy that we have a representative also from the Government Advisory Committee here. Because what I would like to see and what would really be a success story from my point of view is to actually support building a better understanding in the community what the various interests are and also on the back channel what the various limits are to what each of us can reasonably expect from this environment. And I'm in particular, for me, a success story would be if we were able to sort of have a better collaboration in the future between governments making laws and regulations, law enforcement having to work within these frameworks, and the users on the Internet actually understanding that, as it was said already, that privacy is one thing, but accountability is also something which is of pretty big importance here. So I would really be prepared to invest a little bit more resources from my end, maybe over a little bit of a longer time frame, and try to do something or to produce something which is really useful and helpful for the community. Thank you.
Great. Great. Thank you very much.
This is Kim. I just wanted to just add a couple of comments. First of all, actually, I agree with Wilfried on his particular points, and I agree with Emily and Kathy, and actually with all the comments that were put forth so far. And what I understand overall is that communication is key. And what I view as success in this particular working group is, since we're the first one under the framework to actually work on this particular issue, under this particular framework, I hope that at the very least what we are going to be able to get out of this is to set a great foundation of collaboration and terms of references and objectives for any future working group working on that issue, so that we don't have to, or any future working group will have to rehash everything all over again. And we really open up communications and understand and bring to understand the stakeholders and community what actually the different viewpoints are from obviously the various organizations involved in or have interests in the WHOIS policy development overall. So my overall, I think, success factor would be for us to really set a great framework for the advancement of the WHOIS discussion.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to share?
Yeah, this is Bill Smith. So success for me, I think, has two or three components. The first component is around our ability to assess how well ICANN is actually enforcing the agency policy with respect to WHOIS. I think that's clearly called out for. I agree with Kathy, it may be a dense statement, but I believe it can be that we can parse it and determine, make a determination there. I like the comments about potentially going beyond that and discussing other issues with regard to who is, helping to bring some clarity perhaps to the community, showing a way forward. I like the comments around collaboration for us to demonstrate how we can, or how the community can work collaboratively, reaching consensus. The organizations I've participated in, for the most part, operate on consensus. It'd be great if we could do that. Regarding timeline, I actually think aligning things, these review teams, with ICANN's global meetings is a good thing, although my suggestion would be to not have the final report ready at a meeting, but perhaps to have a final report ready between meetings, so that we would attend a meeting, get input potentially on our sort of the final draft that had been published, that we might have published, get the input, and then in the interim between meetings, produce a final report and wrap up. That's my suggestion as a way to include as much comment as we possibly can from the community. And demonstrate that actually we have listened and responded. So I think accountability is another thing that would be very good for this group, to show that the group itself is accountable to the community. So I think we're probably looking at around a one-year time frame potentially. And the other thing I would say is another thing would be if we could get some sort of interim report drafts out relatively quickly, I think that would help the process overall, rather than sort of seeing something start and wait for a year or something to conclude, or 6 months or 9 months, for us to be able to get something out on an ongoing basis to show some progress and potentially to enable some change if necessary along the way.
Thank you, Bill. Very clear thoughts. Anyone else?
Lutz, may I?
Please.
My goal here is to find out which information on who is really necessary. From privacy standpoint, collecting and maintaining private data in a global public available database is a nightmare. So if we can decide which information can be put out of such a database, would be a great step forward. For instance, law enforcement officers said on the Mexican meeting that it's not necessary to have any who has access for strong issues because they are able to go down the delegation chain. So they do not need a who has service at all, very general speaking. So it would be a great success for me if we can define which information should be available in public and which is not necessary anymore, so it can be removed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lutz. Anyone else?
This is Susan Kawaguchi, and I think we probably all have common ground to work from. There, you know, all of us are familiar with the who is and probably use the who is. And I'm sure we can agree on what issues we see that can be solved by an accurate who is, or at least help to resolve with an accurate who is. And so I'm hoping we can define those first, evaluate the current state of the who is and ICANN's role, and then move towards common ground on how we can improve the accuracy of the who is and come up with some good recommendations to move forward with, maybe another group to move forward with at ICANN.
Great. Thank you, Susan.
Yes, this is Lynn Goodendorf. I am a very passionate privacy advocate, and so I am sympathetic with the comments about the need to keep personal details private. But in the case of the public Internet, we also, as Internet users, need to have a way to validate and to confirm that a website is operated by who we think it is. And we need to find a way, and perhaps this is where we need to apply some problem solving. And I think we've all talked about balancing different needs. I sincerely believe there is a way to balance this. But I think in privacy, too, there are principles of transparency that particularly when you are representing yourself to the public, it's necessary to be transparent and to, you know, have ways of confirming that you are who you say you are. So I am very impressed with all the comments, but I do think that law enforcement is not the only entity that has an interest in the use of who is details.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Samad. So I personally think quality of data is important, so is security of data. And there's another dimension now which is actually coming out, and that's, you know, I would call it the availability of data. So who is generally available, but with the IDNs coming in, there are going to be more scripts which are going to be possible. And there should be possibility of representing the who is information in those other scripts. And that's also something which I would like to add. I'd like to see as part of the revised or the in a way, changing who is structure.
Sure. Thank you, Samar. Anyone else? Okay. Well, this has been a really wonderful discussion of what a success looks like, and I think it's always a good exercise to do as we're, you know, creating new initiatives and projects, and just a lot of rich ideas came forward. and showing the diversity of these perspectives and the benefit of having parties with so many different backgrounds. We have another half an hour scheduled for the call. I first want to make sure with everyone that the whole team is available for another 30 minutes, and then I'm going to maybe propose some candidate things we can try to perhaps seek convergence on today or set up processes for in the future. Is everyone on the call good for another 30 minutes?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. It seems to me like we have three items or maybe four items on the agenda to try to handle today, or at least start. One is timeline. Second is a process to elect a chair. The third is the overall process for the cycle of calls or meetings that'll lead to the process and the outcome. And the fourth is on a concrete basis, just getting agreement on the next time for a call or meeting and the process for getting there. Does that sound like the right four things to be discussing in the next 30 minutes, or is there anything else that we should add to the list or maybe take off of that list? Does that sound okay?
Yep.
Wilfred here, just a small question maybe.
Yes, please.
We should also, make up our mind how to work on the procedural framework. We had a couple of documents circulated a short time ago, which could actually act as some sort of a blueprint for the set of our own procedure documents. Are we expected to work on these as well, or are we going to take that to the asynchronous collaboration environment?
Well, my suggestion for consideration of the group, and we can discuss that under process, is that part of the process will be for the group to decide whether to use that framework, modify the framework, or develop a new one. It's entirely at the discretion of the group to choose its framework, and anything provided by staff or others is simply a tool for potential consideration. So if it's okay, Lutz, can we maybe discuss that under the third topic of how we develop the process for moving forward?
Yes, fine with me. Wilfred here.
Thank you. Any other comments on the four items, or should we try to see if we can get to some convergence on them for the next step? Okay, I'll take silence is golden. I'll take that as a sense we can start moving through these. So on the timeline, it sounds like there's a general thought that around 1 year is the right time frame, or within a year, although we've also heard the opinion that perhaps it could stretch more than a year. We want to make sure that a process is done well and completed and has a quality result. And then Bill had a very specific recommendation about, I believe, trying to complete the report and issue the report. I believe, Bill, you proposed at an ICANN public meeting and to have drafts between meetings so people could discuss them. Bill, did I understand that correctly?
No, actually. So, yeah, definitely we should have drafts available between meetings. For the final, I was suggesting that we issue a final draft between meetings, listen to input, or take input up to the final meeting and listen to it in person, and then produce a final report after that. So all of the reports would be between meetings, including the final.
Oh, okay.
Makes sense. So it allows us to take in any final comments that people might have, decide how we're going to address them and respond to them, and produce the final report and wrap up.
Okay. Bill, thank you very much for the clarification. Then if I can attempt to translate that into some dates, we have a meeting next March, the ICANN Silicon Valley meeting will be held in San Francisco, FYI. There will be a June meeting. We haven't chosen the location yet. I believe that's going to be somewhere in Asia. And then we'll have a November or December meeting next year. Bill, if I take a quick cut at translation, I think what I hear you saying is we could, for example, shoot to have the final draft at the June meeting next year, and then we could potentially seek to wrap up the final report by, say, September 30th, which would then come in advance of the December meeting. And that it would be a scenario, and then the maybe the first cut a draft report could be, I don't know if it's possible, but done before the March Silicon Valley meeting, be published in February. So there's discussion there, then reworked by the group, and then a final draft version for the community in June. But can I put that back to the group? Let's just discuss in an open sense whether a September 30th deadline, a time frame is good for next year and straggling around the meetings. So let's just have a quick discussion and see if maybe we can come to convergence, unless the large majority of the group would like to defer the conversation to the next meeting. It might just be nice to try to get one get to consensus on one issue. So, Bill, can you respond to that, and others maybe respond to Bill's comments?
Yeah, this is Bill. I think that is a reasonable thing. I suspect we may reasonably slip that 3 months. My prior was, if we're trying to get real input and address real comments, and if we're doing that in four-month cycles, since ICANN meets basically every three times a year, it may require that we go out a little longer. That's just my thought. But I think attempting to finish this, issue a final report within 1 year, is a good target.
Anyone else? Emily Taylor here. Just thinking about the mechanics of pushing out a first report in February, I'm a little concerned that we might not be able to meet that, and that it might be more realistic to think about getting something out prior to the June meeting. The reason why I say this is because I'm hoping that we will taking up some of the ideas that other speakers have mentioned about trying to get some sort of evidence base for our approach. And I'm aware also that the proposal on methods of working talks about getting external experts to help us, but actually putting all of that in place and actually getting the research done in time, it might be a bit of a stretch to complete that by February, but I'd obviously appreciate other people's views too.
Sure. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah,
Kathy, go ahead.
Great, thank you. I, of course, agree with Bill's call for papers and lots of time for public comment and lots of response from the community. But as we look at the timeline, I think we may be missing something that I think may need to go up front. And that is, before we can even start a paper, I think we may need to go out to the community and solicit input. The model that I'm taking, and I think, Red, you were right to suggest it, is the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, which fortunately has done some of the hard work before us of trying to think through processes. And they spent a lot of time really thinking through questions that they wanted to ask the community. And then they did an amazing job in Brussels of going to as many communities as they could. I know they came to the registry stakeholder group. They were with a number of different groups in as small a group as they could, really trying to solicit input, to listen to stories, to get their questions answered, and not just in writing, to kind of let people tell their stories. And so I can see us spending time developing questions. If our job is to review, then what are we reviewing? What are the questions we want to put out there that others can give us information to? So I can see December and March being opportunities to go out to the ICANN community with questions that we've developed and get answers that we then build into an initial draft report. But I think that first piece of it needs to be somehow budgeted into our time frame.
Thank you. And I'm just going to step back here. One person could just speak after the next and just yield to another. No, I'll step back in as facilitator after everyone shared their pieces. So back to the group.
Yeah, Wilfred here?
Please.
Okay, well, first of all, I would agree with the tentative goal to come up with a reasonably final and finished and stable report before the end of year meeting in 2011. I am flexible with regard to how we actually use the meetings before that cutoff date, but I'm pretty reluctant to believe that we would be able to issue something that is reasonable by the times of February or March next year. I am pretty much convinced that we will need a longer period of time to actually collect all the various issues and to actually understand, and as it was already said, document the stuff that should be considered for the report. So I would not feel comfortable to try to issue something and circulate something as early as February or March. I would rather like us to use the 2.5 months that in reality would be there to actually do reasonable work. Looking at the composition of the group, there are many of us who are sort of in the Western Hemisphere, and there is Christmas break looming somewhere and some other stuff. So we might want to try to shoot for a pretty stable, pretty final thing before the end of year meeting next year, but we might want to leave the door open if major issues pop up to actually extend the mandate and extend the time slot for another 2 or 3 months maybe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Sharon Lemon, can I speak?
Please.
Yeah, I can't add much value to this debate, but to me, February seems very ambitious. But having said that, I don't know how businesslike we will be as a group, how we communicate. This is our first call. I don't know how regularly we have calls, how we conduct our business in between calls, and when we're likely to meet up. So an uninformed view, but it would be that February just seems around the corner to me. Quite prepared to put the work in, but it does seem rather ambitious.
Thank you, Sharon. Okay, let me take a stab at convergence here. What I'm hearing, it seems like a consensus, is that we feel that the final report should be done before the end of year meeting, 2011, which I believe is going to be in December. Actually, go back and check the date. I know we haven't chosen the venue yet. It seems like the consensus is that, and if February is too tight, it seems to be, you know, for so no initial report before the March meeting in Silicon Valley, although it could happen. So let's see if we can converge. Do we want to say that we want to, you know, if it's going to be available and finished before the fall meeting next year, I think that would mean it should be published at least 2 weeks in advance of that, I would think, or a month. So I think we're looking at a window now after September 30th and before December 1st. Should we take a stab at a date between and we can always adjust, or should we just say that the target date is going to be November 30th? Does anyone have a proposal to see if we can just come to convergence here and at least put a marker down, which we could review again at our next meeting if we wish? Does anyone have a proposal on how we put something down?
This is Bill Smith. I would suggest November 1. As was already mentioned, at least in the Western Hemisphere, there's a bunch of stuff that, you know, happening in November and December. And so if we issue that as a target date and then were to even slip a few weeks, it comes before the real mad rush. So that's my suggestion.
Okay.
Actually, I just wanted to just jump in. I see here on your ICANN site anyway that the ICANN meeting in 2011 is in October, end of October.
Okay. Wow. So we are... But by the way, we don't have to publish. If we're between meetings, we do not have to publish before that. But thank you for that data. That is critical. I was just looking for that. What is the specific date that you see posted online?
23rd to 28 October.
Okay. 23rd to 28. All right, let me just hand it back to the group. So with that piece of data and the initial November 1st proposal, where does that lead us?
This is Kathy. There's a June meeting and then an October meeting.
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. I'm still thinking, but thanks.
I mean, we could hypothetically choose to publish within a month after the October meeting. So, I mean, I'm not proposing this. I'm just brainstorming out loud.
I think that's a reasonable idea. So, given the meeting schedule.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to make. Go ahead.
Sorry, it's Emily Taylor here. Just to try and put together some of the ideas. I do agree that we could do some useful learning from the work of the ATRT group on this, and that there might be some preliminary consultation before we even get to writing papers, which perhaps suggests that the October meeting next year could be used for kind of final inputs, and so then there would need to be a little bit of time afterwards to incorporate those inputs and do a final version. So perhaps the end of 2011 might work out.
Okay. Let me just make a proposal for the group to consider that, and then I'm going to suggest if we can't converge immediately, we pick us up the next meeting. I'm going to propose as a straw man November 31st, of 2011. That gives 5 weeks after the October meeting, but it's still before the holiday season for a lot of people. So I'm going to propose November 31st as a potential target date. How does the group feel about that?
November the 30th.
Yes, November 30th. Thank you.
We could do November the 31st.
Sounds very reasonable to me.
And working backwards, this is Kathy, we would need it would be helpful to have a paper out in as substantial a form as possible before the October meeting, and then we can gather those inputs as well at the meeting and in comments afterwards to put into the final report for November.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Sounds good.
Okay, good. So it sounds like we'll put that down as a target, then precisely what you said, you know, using kind of Bill's framework and Kathy, your interpretation. So we'll seek to have the final draft published prior to the fall meeting, which is in October, have the final public consultation there, and then the group will seek to wrap its work up and put the final polishing touches on a report to be issued by a target date of November the 30th, 2011. That sounds like the consensus of where we are.
Great.
Is that where we are, team?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. We've got another 11 minutes. In terms of, you know, and with respect to the ATRT team, one thing we could do is we could invite the chair or a member of the ATRT to join our next call, if the group wishes, and to share maybe the key highlights and lessons they have on process that might help this group save time. We could also, if the group wished, arrange to have a joint session with some of the ATRT members in Cartagena in the December meeting, public meeting of ICANN, and because it relates to, how do people feel about that? How would you like to learn and interact with the ATRT team? If I can put that forward.
This is Bill Smith. I think one of the things that we would be good is if we could operate by and large by the process and procedures that they have elected and improve if necessary by talking to them. But if it's possible to use at least very similar processes in each of these review teams, I think that would be good for the community. So I'm very much in favor of speaking with them in some way, perhaps potentially telephonically, meeting Cartagena, perhaps beforehand. But to I think it would be good to establish some commonality among these teams.
Is there anyone who thinks? Good, please.
I have two things here. First of all, I think that we should try to get the input from the other review team as early as possible to converge on our understanding and on our own procedures. So I think delaying that to the Cartagena meeting is a little bit too late, is a little bit off the mark. But secondly, I would really love to see an opportunity to actually meet up either formally or informally with this other team in Cartagena to exchange ideas and to just learn from each other if they want to learn from us. But as I said, I think we should try to find a mechanism to finish our framework and to write down and agree on our procedures and framework and sort of guiding documents. I'd rather see that happening well before the December meeting in Cartagena. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rob, this is Kathy. I think it would be great if Brian Cute, the chairman of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, could be invited to join us on the next call and walk us through their processes and their thinking about it. We have a slightly different mandate than they do, of course, so I would love to know what went into their thinking and how it linked to their mission. And then we can go through a similar process of evaluation, perhaps, but with the guidance that they offer and their insight and make our own decisions and see what process works for us. But again, they've done so much of the heavy lifting already and the heavy thinking that it would be great to move forward with their input.
Sure. It sounds like the group agrees that we should have Brian Cute on the next call. Does anyone think that's not a good idea? Okay, sounds like we should invite Brian for the next call, and maybe we'll ask him to have a presentation put together of like the key 5 or 10 recommendations they have from what they learned, and then we can have a discussion with him for as long as the group would like in terms of their process and procedures. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Yes, Brian. Good. Again, if we have any interest in I'm not a demand, but if there is an interest in trying to get all of these review teams aligned somewhat, at least around some framework, I would suggest we would need to want to reach out somehow, and maybe it's through ICANN staff, to the SSR team, which is spinning up at the same time.
Sure. Okay. That's a good suggestion. Okay, we're getting tight on time here. I think we're obviously not going to elect a chair yet because we haven't even decided a process for a chair. Can I propose that an agenda item for the next call, which we'll come back to scheduling in a moment, be the election of a chair, and that perhaps before the next call we ask any participants that would like to volunteer to be chair, proffer their names forward, what should we do for the next step in the chair election process for this group? What would you like to do?
This is Olof. While you're all thinking about that, there are, of course, self-nominations, and nominations could just be as possible as self-nominations or volunteering. So that's really a choice, whether it's only volunteers or we have nominations of others within the group.
Yes. And I'll just mention, I'm very happy to serve the group as a facilitator or chair for the next call or two if you'd like that. I'm very comfortable doing that, or I'm also very happy to pass the baton to anybody on the call to coordinate next time. So I'm totally flexible here, and I'm just here to serve. I would like to propose that we maybe have a self-nominations and nominations process between now and the next call. Does that sound okay? So anyone who has an interest can indicate, or if someone else would like to nominate a chair, they can.
Yes.
Sounds reasonable.
Great.
Okay. Okay, so we'll do that, and then we need to schedule a next call. Olof, do we have a next call scheduled, or or we can discuss as a group how often we'd like to have a call, whether it's every 2 weeks, every 4 weeks, every day of the week, every working day only.
The answer is there's no prescriptions here from our side, so it's pretty open. But suggestion would be every 2 weeks as a base assumption.
Is that what the NPRT did, Olaf, by the way? Excuse me.
Actually, I agree with
in the beginning,
every other week. But I do think that at least for the next meeting, we should to speed up the process and to help us all to get to know each other better. We should just have that possibly next week and then just try to get all the administrative issues out of the way and then move into every fortnight kind of approach.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you say we should do it next week just to get administrative week work done and then go to a fortnightly approach? Or I'm sorry,
that's
what was the proposal? Okay.
That's what I was suggesting, that we should do it right now next week, have the next call. And then if required, if we haven't actually completed all of the administrative issues and so on, to then actually have another call the following week. And then once we have all the administrative matters resolved, then move to every other week approach.
Ms. Bill Smith, I like that approach. And suggest we might want to then map out 2 to 4 weeks worth of a call every week, knowing that we could drop them out. And then would suggest going forward, we also basically that we switch to the every other week format, but could have hold emergency calls on the alternate week. If that's possible. Other organizations where we have done that, and people sort of block out that extra time, and maybe not everyone is available on all of those calls, but it gives us a way if things happen and happen more quickly to hold at least an ad hoc meeting.
Okay. Let me propose then that we have a call next week. We've only got a couple of minutes. I know we want to stay on schedule. Should we try to do it the same time next week, or should we try to do a doodle poll of the list in schedule, or does someone have another proposal? I think for efficiency's sake, if we can do it the same time or shift it an hour or two either direction, but do it on the same day, maybe we can come to a quick convergence. Or does someone have a proposal here, or does anyone have a fundamental problem with this time next week? Because I know people are in very different time zones out there.
Yeah, I think for Dia.
Yes, I do. This is Kathy. The Registry Stakeholder Group meets every other week on Wednesday mornings by telephone, so I wouldn't be able to meet in this slot every week. And
okay.
Next week there's a conflict.
Yeah, 1 hour later.
Wilfried here. I would not be available in the next week, neither on Wednesday nor on Thursday, due to another event all day. But I would still rather see us meet during next week. But maybe we could, maybe exceptionally, do it on Tuesday or on Friday.
I mean, let's do a doodle. I mean, it seems to be there some conflict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Good idea.
Okay.
We have to do the.
Okay. And then I'll propose an agenda for the next meeting. We have to discuss the election chair process. We're going to have I guess we'll have Brian Cute not next week, but 3 weeks from now, if we're proposing a weekly meeting, one next week and then 2 weeks from then. So I would propose Brian Cute at the next call, unless people want him next week on the call. Okay.
I think that would be useful.
Okay. All right. Good.
Do you think you could try him for next time, because it would be quite a good scene setting, unless you think it would be impossible to schedule.
Yeah. You mean right now, or are you proposing we try to set it right now instead of the doodle poll?
No, I'm not. I'm suggesting that we try to involve Brian in next week's meeting rather than the one in 3 weeks' time.
Fine. Good. I agree.
Maybe Brian could come in towards the end of the call, the last half hour.
Sure.
So that the election can take place up front.
Yeah, so we'll include Brian as a necessary timer, you know, we need to get him on the doodle poll as well, effectively, or get him scheduled in, so we'll have his calendar constraints. Now, I will ask the group, you know, to give staff the, you know, ability to choose the time slot that has the large, you know, almost everyone participating. I don't know if we can shoot for 100%, or do you want us to try to hold out for 100% even if we need to do it in the middle of the night for most people or something. But are we okay with a 95% solution or 90% solution?
Yeah,
I agree with that. As long as obviously all the potential nominated chairs are participating.
Right.
Okay.
Here, my position would be that we should try to get as many of us into the call. And I would ask everyone involved to be quite flexible when it comes to the time of the day. I think it's at least in the beginning, it's more important to actually be flexible and be included and contribute and get up to speed rather than to be restrictive. I would also at the same time ask the group to consider externally imprinted inabilities. And be a little bit flexible. But I also agree we will never achieve 100% for all the meetings.
Sure. And I think the good news is I think the time zone span is basically between Pakistan time and California time, which is a reasonable span. It's an 11-hour total span. So it's a pretty wide set of offerings for the group. So we will work on that. Staff will put together just sort of a draft agenda of some of these items we talked about for the next meeting, and we'll get Brian involved for the last half hour of the meeting. And with that, I'd like to propose we bring the meeting to a close, but let's go quickly around the table and I'd like each person to share just a word, a sentence, not a paragraph on how you feel. And my word is that I feel very, very satisfied with this call.
Can I ask a very quick question?
Sure.
Just for diary purposes, are we expected to come to Colombia in December for our first face-to-face meeting, or is it likely to be San Francisco in the spring?
The group will need to decide. I would assume the group will probably want to meet in Colombia and in San Francisco, which would be my assumption, but we can discuss that in depth at the next meeting, although you could also participate potentially remotely by phone calls, but I'll propose we discuss that at the next meeting, if that's okay.
Thank you, and I'll be very happy, and I'm really looking forward to working with you.
Thank you. Any other quick closing remarks around the table?
Feeling fine and happy?
Very pleased.
Yeah, I think
that was a good start for our meeting.
I think it's been a good, productive call.
It sounds like a great, great team for a big job.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much, and I look forward to joining you on the call next week that will be determined through the doodle poll. Thank you so much, and have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sure.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.